You have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 is where we're going to be here today as we wrap up looking at the creation story and how it can relate to our time of meditation. Day 1, we saw the light. It's found in Genesis 1, 1 through 5. Day 2, the water. Day 3, dry land and vegetation. Day 4, the sun and the moon and the stars. Day 5, the sea creatures and the flighty creatures, and day 6, land creatures and man. But I want to end with this final thought here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. It says, "And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day." If we were to go back into the original text for some of these words that have been translated into English, saw would be ra, which means to perceive or to regard. So God perceived, he regarded all that he had made, and it was, very would be mahod, which means to wholly or speedily, to be greatly, used with other words as an intensive or superlative. So he saw that it was, or perceived or regarded that it was, holy, greatly, properly, vehemently, good, tov. It was pleasant. It was excellent. It was of a higher nature. God saw the creation, specifically that of man, and he didn't just see things that were good, but he saw things that were very good. And maybe just simply looking at one little passage of scripture here can help us to understand why he did so much to help to redeem man back to him. Because he wasn't just redeeming any creation. No, no, no. He was redeeming the very good creation. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, a passage of scripture, we're familiar with verse 6, but let's start in verse 4. In Isaiah 9, 4, it says, "For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used in the burning and fuel of fire." Isaiah here is talking in his prophecy about the release. And it continues on in verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Why? Well, maybe if we go back to day 6, when God saw, perceived, regarded all he had made, it was holy, speedily, greatly, pleasant, excellent, of a higher nature. Maybe that'll explain why we see in the Isaiah prophecy God would bring forth his son. But what about Matthew, the 9th chapter? So we see Jesus here on earth. In Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35, it says this. It says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and the healing healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" When Jesus was here on earth and he saw all those, the ones he created, and saw them in their disease and their sickness, and saw them being harassed and helpless, he was moved to compassion. Well, why is that? Well, maybe because he reflected back on that day. God perceived and regarded what he had made. And it was properly, holy, speedily, greatly good, pleasant, excellent, of a higher nature. And finally, one final passage of scripture in Romans, the 5th chapter. We see before Christ in Isaiah the prophecy of the coming of the one. We see that when the one was here, Jesus Christ, and he saw man, he was moved to compassion. But what is the thought of after he came and died and he ascended? Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Why? Maybe because God perceived and regarded what he had made, and it was holy, speedily, greatly good, pleasant, excellent, of a higher nature. As we see before the birth of Christ, as we see in the life of Christ, as we see after his death, these passages of scripture found in Isaiah, Matthew, and Romans, we see the thoughts and principles that were laid out in Genesis 1:31. That when we were made, God looked at us and regarded us as something that was great, something that was excellent. And that's why we're here today, because we've had the opportunity to reestablish that relationship, something that God wanted to do even at the time of creation, because it was very good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to guide and direct us, that, Lord God, as we think about our relationship, that in our time of creation, it was very good, Lord God, and we fell, and we sinned, and we destroyed that relationship. But Isaiah prophesied about the coming of the Son, who would bring forth peace and harmony back into our relationship with you. Matthew records that, Father God, we see that that harmony was something he desired because he was moved to compassion when he saw his people. And that even though we messed up that good, that Christ came to die because God wanted to demonstrate his love, because he still saw us as something of worth and of value. So we thank you for this opportunity to share and to remember what we truly mean to you. And we pray, Father God, we take this opportunity to remember what you mean to us. And through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.